welcome, church. Good morning. It is, look around you. Is it not good to be together with the body of Christ here at Central Christian? Amen. We've done these things typically once a year, but the more we've done them, the more people just say they love them, and so now we're trying to do them more often. But we've got brothers and sisters in Christ that go to our Hispanic service, Casa de Luz. We've got our brothers and sisters that are typically here on Saturday night with us. We've got our brothers and sisters that are here Sunday morning, whether you go to the 9 or the 10:45. It's so good. Even though I know it changes our schedules and it kind of messes things up a little bit for us at times, it's so good to be together in this space. Because what's unifying about this is that we all come because we stand upon Christ. Amen? Like, that's what we come to celebrate. That's what we're here to do this morning. And I want to ask you, go ahead and have a seat real quick, because I want to just explain a couple things to us. And first of all, for those of you who are coming in a little late, or you'll come in and some showed up here at 9 o'clock looking for a service, listen, like, we tried our best to communicate, but inevitably we're going to miss some of y'all. So sorry if this is your first time and you're kind of wondering what we're doing here. This is a unique morning for us. And the whole thing that we're trying to do this morning is very unique. And let me read a text for you. It's from Acts chapter 2. It's one you'll be familiar with. And this text is a text that's written right after the day of Pentecost. And so if you know what happens at the day of Pentecost, after Jesus has ascended up into heaven, and the Spirit of God has fallen upon the disciples, and they go out into Jerusalem, and they begin to speak, and Peter gives this message of the gospel. We hear from the Lord that he added to their number literally thousands of people that day. And right after that, we get a picture of what the church of God in those days was. And I love this text, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they, being the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. You know, when we come so often into Sunday mornings, I think we do a really good job of expecting that aspect of devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching, don't we? Like, we come to hear teaching from the Word of God. We come to hear the Word of God proclaimed, and that is awesome. That is fantastic. But sometimes we forget to come and break bread together. We forget to come and pray together. We forget to celebrate together. You know, there's a reason why throughout church history, for at least as long as I can remember, this space is called the sanctuary. It's because we come in sanctuary, in a place that's safe, in a place to gather as the people of God, coming out of 6 days of all kinds of stuff, right? Like, we've had 6 days, some of us have had 6 days of trials, some of us have had 6 days of victories, some of us have had 6 days of failures, some of us were just worn out. And so we come today knowing that to a sanctuary, to a place to be in the presence of God, to be with the people of God, to encourage one another. And so today, things are gonna look very different, because we want to worship God together. And so you're actually going to see the whole format of our service a little bit different. We actually have kind of framed the whole thing kind of based off of an acronym that I learned as I was learning how to pray. It was called the ACTS model. If you're familiar with that, it kind of helps you walk through prayer to adore the Lord, to give adoration to God and praise, and to confess, to give thanksgiving, to give supplication. And so throughout the morning, we're going to be kind of leaning into those things. And so today is going to look different. And what I would encourage you to do, as it looks different, and not to let that be a distraction, but actually let that to be an aid to you. Because we want us as the people of God to come this morning and just spend time with the Lord. And so with that being said, I want to take a few minutes to prepare ourselves. To just honestly do something that in our culture, in our day and age, is really hard for us. It's very against our nature. And it's the idea of being still. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we hear the story of a prophet of God named Elijah. And if you're familiar with this story, in chapter 19, we're kind of coming into the story of Elijah after he has had this wonderful experience on this place called Mount Carmel. And we've seen God do this wonderful thing where he's sent fire down upon this altar that was built, and all of the prophets of Baal, a false god, were killed. And Elijah's got this great victory that's happened to him. And then we see him kind of get discouraged. And the queen of the day, her name was Jezebel. There's not the best things attached to that name, but that's why. Jezebel puts a price on Elijah's head. And Elijah, in his discouragement, goes to the mountain of God, Mount Horeb. What happens in the mountain of God is that he is called out onto the mountain to see God. And when he comes out onto the mountain, there's this great wind that comes and it tears rocks off of the mountain, and God is not there. And then right after that, there's a great earthquake that shakes the foundation of the mountain of God, and God is not there. And then there's a fire. And I imagine Elijah smelt it, he heard it, he felt the heat of the fire, and the scripture tells us that in the fire, God was not there. And then right afterwards, we hear God, or Elijah hears God in the still small voice. In the still small voice. How often do we miss the still small voice of God because we don't quiet ourselves? And so while it seems contrary to us and while it seems difficult to us in the craziness of our lives and the busyness of this world, I want to us to start this morning in stillness. Just to whatever you've got this morning. Like, this isn't a time for you to necessarily confess things to the Lord. This is just a time just to be quiet, to be still, to lay down whatever it is that you brought into this space so that we can go to the Lord. And listen, none of all that stuff is bad. Like, I'm still a little amped up from the Chiefs win yesterday. Like, but we just need to lay that stuff down and be still and quiet before the Lord this morning. And so what I'd ask is, would you please stand with me if you are able? And I'm going to read a psalm, Psalm chapter 46, verse 10. It says this. This is a command. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. That's what we want to do today. This is a sanctuary to be still and to know that he is God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So we're going to move into a time to just be still. And here's what I would ask. I'm going to pray. And this is one of those days that, listen, however you feel led to posture yourself before the Lord, I want to invite you to do that. We're not here because we want other people to see us this morning. We're not here because we want other people to think that we're something that we're not, or, you know, I just want to invite you and just open up the space that however you feel you want to this morning, throughout the day, however you want to posture yourself, whether you want to stand, whether you want to sit, whether you want to kneel, whether you want to come down to the front, we'll have people always ready to pray with you. However you feel like you need to posture yourself this morning, feel the freedom to do that in this space. No one will be paying attention to that. No one will be looking at you. But we want to be able to go before the Lord. Father, this morning as we come into your presence, as we come with so much on our plates, so many cares, so many worries. I know that there's many in this room that come with the failures of the week weighing upon them. I feel that. We come with joys, we come with celebrations, we come with so many things. But Father, this morning, we still ourselves before you. We're reminded that you gave us the Sabbath and you called us to keep it holy, not because you needed it, but because we need to be reminded that we need to be still, and that when we are still, you're still at work. And the world doesn't spin off its axis. And the world doesn't fall apart because you are God. And so this morning, whatever it is we have, may we just take a moment to rest, to be quiet, to be still before you. And we pray, Father, these things in the name of your Son. Amen. Now please take whatever posture you feel the Lord leading, and let's take a few moments to be still before the Lord and prepare our hearts for worship.
in the Beatitudes, Matthew, in Matthew's gospel, he says this: blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Amen. Who here wants to be satisfied by the Lord? Who here has such a hard time finding their satisfaction in Jesus? Because of all the competing voices, this song we're about to sing is meant to prepare our hearts for confession. And the way to be satisfied in the name and the power of Jesus Christ is through confession. And this song is meant to allow us to sing things to God very frankly. So I don't know where you are. I don't know what's happening in your heart. I don't know what's happening in your life. But I would invite you to walk alongside our brother Job and to pour out our hearts before the Father, to ask God to speak to us. Can we do that together? Satisfy us this morning. Satisfy us, Jesus. Help us to hunger and thirst for righteousness.
And he said, where were you the day that I measured, sunk the base and stretched the line over all the earth and carved out its
mighty you are, Father.
Where were you the day that I spoke? Told the sign to split the night open. All the morning dawn is light to show. Who shut in the ocean with stone? Mark the although I had no right to ask, my God knelt and answered me.
Our God is a great God, is he not? You know, oftentimes when we think about coming to a place of confession and we think about our failures, a lot of times we start thinking about the rules and the laws that God has given us, but what we see in Scripture is most effective for his people. For us to be seen in the right light, even in our own eyes, is not to see a list of rules, but is to see him. It's to see his glory. Because in the light of his glory, in the light of his wonder and his awe and his majesty and his holiness, we see our insufficiencies, don't we? We see our inadequacies, don't we? Our failures, our brokenness, how small we are in comparison to him. And as we move into this time, it's so good for us to be reminded not just of who we are, but who we are in light of him. See, because we can make ourselves look good as we put ourselves up against other people, can't we? We can make ourselves feel okay when we stand next to other men and women. But when we stand next to the glory of God, all of us are bent to our knees. All of us feel and can feel small in the light of his glory. Would you have a seat? We move into this time, a time of confession. A time where we now, standing in the awe of God, standing in his presence, be mindful of who he is, we consider who we are. Hear God's servant Paul in Romans 3. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. At times, is this not true of all of us? Is this not true of every single one of us in this room? For none of us is perfect. None of us walked into this room this morning unstained from this world. None of us have. None of us have come in this morning without some point throughout this week finding our satisfaction in something besides Christ. None of us have come into this morning without at some point this week going against the way of God and following our own way. I find myself even this morning in those spaces. We, as the people of God, however, we are united with Christ. And therefore, we're blameless in the eyes of God, but we are called to confess our failures. See, confession is a beautiful act for the people of God to be reminded of the work on the cross. Confession is a wonderful act for us to abide in the work on the cross. Confession is an act for us to abide in the love of Jesus Christ, to be reminded that while we fail, our identity is no longer sinners. I had this conversation with a sister from the church this week. Our identity is we are united with Christ. And so we're called to confess. And yet so often, is it not true that we want to hold in that confession? We don't want to communicate what it is that we've done. We don't want to communicate the brokenness. We don't want to communicate the doubts. We don't want to communicate the failures. We don't want to communicate the sins to God, let alone to each other. Because they might see us for who we really are, right? And yet we have been called as an act of abiding in Christ to confess our sins. And we've been guaranteed that in that confession that he will hear us and forgive us of our sins. Do you want to know what happens to us when we don't confess? Psalm 32, verse 3-5. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Anybody been there? Under the weight of your sin, have you ever been in that place where you just feel like your bones are crushed? When I kept silence, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For the day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you, this is the hope of everyone in this room, forgave the iniquity of my sin. See, the enemy would want us to stay silent. Our pride would want us to stay silent. But when we stay silent, it just rots us, doesn't it? It just rots us away. But when we confess it, when we say, God, my transgressions are great, it provides us an opportunity to be reminded that we are forgiven and the iniquity of our sin can be taken away. And so this morning, the call is that we don't want to remain silent. And so as a body of Christ, we're going to enter into a time of confession. And that's not public confession. We're not going to have a mic up here, so calm down. It's okay. But a time of confession. A time to just sit and go, Lord, here's my failures, here's my brokenness, here's my weakness, here's my doubts, here's my sins. I confess it to you. You pray it to the Lord. And just like the rest of this morning, if you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to kneel, you can kneel. If you want to come to the front, you can come to the front. And you can have someone pray over you. You can confess your sins to the Lord. And no matter what you're feeling right now, forgiveness can be had. For those in this room that don't know Christ, I want to just invite you to find rest in him. Because I believe that even as you sit in this space, that as we come into the presence of God can bring sight to your eyes. And I would be remiss as we enter into a time of confession to not call you to respond to the grace and the mercy that can be found in Christ Jesus. The weight of your sin does not have to be carried by you. And so in this time, as we continue on in confession and Sean then and Peter lead us into a song, I Need Thee Every Hour. If that's you, I just invite you to come up as well. We'd love to talk with you about that. Let's just take a few moments to examine ourselves, to examine our hearts and to examine our lives and to confess our sins to the Lord. Father, I start and lead us by just confessing almost every one of the things I mentioned are things I'm guilty of. And not just once in a while, but I constantly fall. I'm constantly looking to other things to be satisfied in. I'm constantly focusing on things of the world, not on things of your kingdom. I'm constantly acting out of fear and doubt and faithlessness. I feel that weight. I think all of us feel that weight. We confess those things to you now. in this moment, we hear your people's prayer as they confess as an acknowledgement that they need your grace and your mercy this morning.
I feel led to say, if there's anybody here who needs to do more confession, whose heart is in a place that needs to come before the Father in humble submission, can you come to the front and can elders be ready to receive them? During the song, as we sing, I need thee every hour. Don't stay if the Father is bidding you come and be healed. Lord Jesus, give consolation this morning to the wounded soul. Give us peace where there is no peace. Give us joy by reminding us that our sins, Lord, have been atoned for.
Don't we? Every single one of us, in this room need the grace of Christ, not just once in our lives that we kind of slide a transaction and it's done, but every day. Every day we come as fellow brothers and sisters dependent upon the grace of Christ. And none of us walk out of this place free of sin. None of us will walk out of this place perfect. And so we continue to have to remind one another that we're broken and we're fallen. But, and this is the beauty of it, there's a but, isn't there? The blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient for every one of your failures. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, we have confidence. Confidence to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us, don't miss this, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen? He is faithful. We are not. He is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Brothers and sisters, the day is drawing near. It is nearer today than when the author of Hebrews wrote that. It is nearer today than it was yesterday. The day of the Lord is drawing near, and for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, you can have the full assurance of the faith that as you confess those sins, those failures, no matter what they were, and I don't care what they were, his blood is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for you. Amen. And so you and I and all of us, we can draw near to the living God. We can draw near to the throne of God, being in his presence without fear, without anxiety, but simply to rest at the feet of our Lord and our Savior, our God and our King, Jesus Christ.
Charles Spurgeon tells a story of a woman coming to him and said, "I committed a grievous sin, and I confessed it, and I confessed it, and I confessed it, and I just never got out from underneath the shadow." And she said, "What should I do?" And he said, "You need to confess your sin." And she looked at him dumbfounded, and she said, "But I've been confessing that sin for years." And he said, "You need to confess the sin that you don't believe that Jesus has healed you and forgiven you." Let me tell you right now, from the moment that Jesus died on that cross and his blood hit the dirt and sanctified the earth and broke the curse, when the battle was won, Jesus has the power to forgive us of all of our sin. And if there's anybody here this morning who has been walking under the shadow, it's time to sing hallelujah that Jesus has forgiven me. It's time to sing hallelujah, praise the one risen Son of God. Let's come together as brothers and sisters, fathers, mothers, sons and daughters, the family of God. Let's extol the name of the Lord. You're free. You are free in Jesus. I know the narratives of this world tell you that you're not. I know they always tell you that you're not enough. You're free. And our hope is hidden in him. Amen. Come with glad and gracious hearts, because we have a glad and gracious Savior. We're entering now into a time of communion. This is, today and always is, the pinnacle of our service. Please have a seat. Let me speak some words over you. Ushers, if you'd like to, you can grab the elements and prepare to pass the plates. I took some time to process some scriptures that I could share so that we can bring our hearts to the proper place to receive the body and the blood. One of my favorite ways of studying God's word is finding New Testament truths concealed in the Old Testament. Mysteries that happen in the Old Testament that you don't quite understand why it happened that way, but then interpreted in light of the glory of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, they make sense. So I would like to feast on the goodness of God by taking our hearts to Exodus 24. Let me kind of put the context down for us. This is just after Moses has led the Israelites to confirm the covenant with God, to say, we will do all that we have been told. We agree to this covenant. And then God is about to invite Moses up on the mountain with the 70 elders to do something, which we'll read about. And then Moses is invited higher to receive the 10 commandments, okay? This is a major spot where we are understanding more and more the details of the Mosaic covenant. Hear these words. Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. You hear tones of Revelation 22 here. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he, get this, he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. They sat, they looked at God. And remember, the walls of the New Jerusalem, 12 layers thick of various jewels and stones. The floor of the New Jerusalem, completely purified, clear gold. When God draws near, he purifies all things. There was a time when this same God came to earth and ate with his people. But this time, he did lay his hands on them. In fact, he washed their feet. He washed their feet. He put a towel around his waist and became their servant. This is the same God who purifies the ground clear as sapphire stone when he treads on it in his transfigured glory. Amen? And not only did he wash their feet, he took bread and he took wine and he sat before them, even to Judas, even to his enemy. He said, this is my body and this is my blood. And so we come before our Savior Jesus, his Father and the Spirit of God, who reminds us that we can draw near to God, that he has made himself known to us in ways that we don't deserve. Church family, let's just take a moment as we pass the elements. Let's behold God. Let's eat and drink. And let's behold the goodness of God. Let's remember that Jesus' blood was poured out for us. Amen. Let's do that together now. the plates will be passed. And during this time, as we partake of these elements, we are reminded that this time is reserved for those who have trusted in the name of Jesus. And so if you have not yet taken that step, I would ask you to withhold. But this morning can be a time when we do take the elements together and joyfully trust in the name of Jesus for us, for our salvation. Brothers, at this time, we celebrate the loving kindness of God by responding to Him, not only by eating and drinking and remembering what Jesus has done for us on the cross, but we respond in worship by giving. And so as we pass the plates this morning for offering, I'm just going to say something that I feel like I should say. God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need a single dime to do what He will accomplish. But if your heart is like mine, my temptation is to trust myself to provide for my family. The bent of my heart often is to distrust that God can and will provide. And the way that I fight that idol is by obeying Scripture and giving back to God what He has given to me. And sometimes we pass over the offering somewhat quickly. I just want to tell you this morning and remind you, it was the widow and her mite and her 2 cents that made the heart of Jesus so glad, for she gave in her poverty. She gave because she trusted the Lord and loved Him. So as we come together, and we have an opportunity to give back to the work of God, Let's give with joyous hearts. Let our giving be a response to the love of God and not to earn it. Amen. Let our giving be to respond to the blood of Jesus poured out for us, that he gave us the Holy Spirit and gives us everything we need for life and godliness. Let's respond by giving to God what he gives us. Let's freely give back to the Father. Let his work go out. You can do that at this time. Why don't you stand with us? Let's keep worshiping together.
Oh, you are good, you are good. When there's nothing good in me, you are love, you are love, on display for all to see. You are light, you are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you are hope, you have covered all my sins. Fear is crippling. You are true, you are true. Even in my wandering, you are joy, you are joy. You're the reason that I sing. You are life, your death has lost its sting.
this time is now, as we have beheld the face of God, as we have confessed our sins, and we have stood in His presence, and we have felt the forgiveness that is granted to us. Now we turn, and now we want to talk to Him. And there's no better way to do that than to offer up our thanksgiving. Amen. Not just for the work that He's done in us, not just for the salvation that we have, but for everything that our God has granted. And so what I want to do at this time, and I know that sometimes this can make us a little uncomfortable, especially if you're an introverted person, what we want to do is we want to gather with those that are around us, maybe four or five, and we want to just lift our voices up in prayer together in thanksgiving to all that God has done. Thanking Him for everything from the blessings that He's given us to the health that we have received to the ways that God has worked in your life to this morning, to the church, His steadfast love, whatever comes to mind, we now as a people want to lift our voices up together. And so I'm going to read a text of scripture and then begin us in a prayer of thanksgiving. And then I would ask that you would gather with those around you. And those of you who are bold extroverts, this is your chance. You get to go lead, take it by the reins, and just lead out in thanksgiving. And may the voices of God's people go up in thanksgiving for all that He has done. Brothers and sisters, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. For He has done great works. He has made the heavens. He spread out the earth above the waters. He made the great lights, the sun to rule, and the moon and the stars to rule the nights. Give thanks to our Lord. Father God, we now take a moment, and Father, may it bless your heart to hear the people, your people, those who you have delivered out of darkness into marvelous light. May it bless your heart now to hear the voices of your people lift up your name in thanksgiving for all that you have done, for all that you have given, that you make the rain fall upon the wicked and the righteous, that you give us air, that you give us breath, that you give us life, that you give us food and family and friends, salvation and everything else. Father, praise you this morning. We ask now that you would turn your voices from thanksgiving to now supplication, to ask the Lord, to pray, to beseech Him for Him to work. And I would ask that you would start your prayer this morning by just prayers for the church. prayers for Central Christian, but even as we talked last week about wanting to be a people of God who embody and enact and proclaim the gospel for the sake of the lost, that he would empower us to do that work, that he would encourage us to do that work. So pray for this church, pray for the work that God has for us moving forward. Pray for the leaders and the elders. Pray for the choir and the orchestra who have been on vacation after all the work they put in to the Christmas program. They're coming back this week, that God would do a mighty work in them as they gather this week. But pray for our church now as the people of God. Now, brothers and sisters, pray for the sick and the hurting, even among your groups. If you're sick and you're struggling, this is an opportunity for you to tell a brother and sister and allow them to carry that burden for you. And now pray for one another. Pray for those that are hurting in this congregation. Pray for those that are hurting outside of this congregation that don't know you. And lift up those who are experiencing the brokenness and the fallenness of this world. Father, we are thankful as we end our time that not only for these prayers have you heard us, but you always hear your people. As we turn our cries to you, as we turn our hearts to you, you have promised to incline your ear, to turn your ear to us, to hear us, to act, to move on behalf of your people. And so pray, Father, for those that prayed for sickness, that you would bring healing. Father, for those that prayed against barriers in their lives, I pray that you would break those down. For those that prayed against sin in their lives or addictions that they're struggling, Father, may you deliver your people. Father, we pray that you would hear us, but also, Father, that we as your people would humbly submit ourselves and be able to declare whatever the answer it is in every area of our lives, that because of our trust in you, because you are good, because your steadfast love endures forever, that it is well with our soul. Amen.
Remember, as we've been praying, that we didn't just speak words and hope that maybe somewhere in the air God will catch it, but he caught every single word, and he wants us to let us know that it will be well with our soul.
When peace I go, oh,
Is well with our soul because of Christ. Amen? It is good to be the people of God. So glad that you were with us this morning. I just want to say again, if this is your first time, listen, if some of this was weird for you, one of the things that we want to do, we don't want to just talk about being the people of God, we want to be the people of God, which means we want to sit in the presence of God. We want to be the people of God. And so if it was a little odd for you, that's what we were trying to do this morning. And I pray, regardless of how you felt about how the morning went and the differences of it, I pray that your soul found a little rest this morning. Just a little bit of encouragement, that your soul found a little bit of sanctuary from the craziness of everything that we're going to walk out of here into, because really that was the goal, that was the desire, that was the heart for us now as the people of God. And so if it was your first time, I'd love to have the opportunity to meet with you. And so right after the service, I'm going to be outside these main doors at what we call our Info Central booth. Please come out. I'd love to talk with you, love to get to know you a little bit. So if this is your first time, please visit us there. Also, don't forget, as we talked last week, we continue to want to be a people who take this out. We don't just gather, but we go scatter. And so don't forget about our missions trips and the opportunities that we have there. Also, we've got a wonderful event for our ladies coming up. You can find the information in your bulletin. It's called the If Gathering. It's a great time of fellowship and learning and growing in the Lord. And that's on February 8th and 9th. Please be present for that if you're a lady. I think 12 or over, it's available to you. It'll be a great time, a Friday evening and a Saturday morning to just worship the Lord together. And then one last thing. If you have a child that is going into kindergarten and you're kind of trying to figure out what you want to do with that child, I want to invite you to something we call Kindergarten Explosion here at our CCA ministry, our academy. It is this week. It's on Thursday at 6:30 p.m. It's in the Crown Room, and you can come in and find out all kinds of stuff about the school and how that looks for you, and so and what kind of things that they get to experience as kindergartners coming in. And so great opportunity for you to get some information about the school. I want to read this text as we close, as we end our time together. And this: put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart to God. And brothers and sisters, whatever you do this week, in word or do, or word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. We'll see you next week. God bless.